School is lovely, a lovely place to be. It's just right for boys and girls, especially you and me. We all love to go there to learn to read and write. We never play truant or want to start a fight. We love to do our homework, we never get enough, especially mathematics, it really is hot stuff. History and computers, we're set to their intake. And physics is so lovely, it keeps me wide awake. School is really very nice. 7 days a week would make it paradise. We know that some don't like it and make an awful fuss. But if you go to school, you will be a genius. Philosophy is perfect for learning how to think, and chemistry is marvelous for making things that stink. And when you finish learning how to make a pong, you can take the morning off till more lessons come along. School is heaven, the nicest place on earth. Everyone should go there and give it all it's worth. You never will be clever or be a great success unless you go to school and do your very best. All together now, school is really very nice. 7 days a week would make it paradise. We know that some don't like it and make an awful fuss, but if you go to school, you will be a genius. If you go to school, you will be a genius. Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I'd like to talk about school and education. And specifically, I'd like to talk about the fact that education, for the most part, is basically a complete waste of time. And we need a society that is far less educated. Now, in making this point, I want to do two things. I want to review three books that present the argument that we should be less educated and that education is for the most part a waste of time. And then I want to give my personal sort of more nuanced view of this, which is that a certain amount of formal education is probably a good thing, but this has to be balanced. This has to be balanced precisely with other factors. Too much formal education is a bad thing for society and doesn't help. In fact, it makes things worse. Too little, probably not good. There needs to be a balance between the two. And we have gone far too far in the direction of everybody being educated. And the result of that is that the education system is undermined, educational qualifications are meaningless, higher education is meaningless, pointless, and expensive. And probably we're going to see it begin to fall apart. Now, the first book I want to look at is The Case Against Education by a chap by the name of Kaplan. Now, what he argues is that the education system is basically very, very inefficient. It has a very small impact on human capital. The main point of it is so-called signalling. Being educated, going to school and then going to university particularly, basically certifies to people that you are intelligent, which we know correlates with going to school about 0.7, that you are conscientious, which correlates with it at about 0.5, and that you are conformist. He calculates that 80% of the return, particularly on going into higher education, is based around signalling. So you're not actually learning any useful knowledge at all that is going to help you in your career, for the most part. I mean, there's exceptions with things like science or whatever, but for the most part, particularly in the humanities and social sciences, you're not learning anything useful. You're not learning anything that you're going to need to know in your career. It's a complete waste of time and waste of money. 80% of the benefit that you get from it is your ability to signal via having gone through a large level of education that you are intelligent, conscientious, and conformist. Now, of course, what that means is that there's diminishing returns. If lots and lots of people become educated, then the degree to which you can signal with your education that you are these things is diminished, and so the payoff for having it in terms of the social status that you will achieve is heavily diminished once lots of people start doing it. He argues that education can be a good thing. It does increase some human skills and whatever, but only to a very, very limited degree. It also, this whole idea that we used to have, which was that education is associated with, for example, lower criminality, it's associated with more skill, it's associated with more achievement, fails to understand the genetic aspect of being educatable, which is that intelligence is about at least about 0.8 genetic, and that personality is 0.5 or more genetic. So these studies that argue that we need to have a highly educated society, because what that will lead to as a society that achieves more and accomplishes more, are heavily, heavily confounded by the fact that they ignore the strongly genetic element to how well you do in life and whatever. Education can be a reflection of your intelligence and your personality, rather than a cause that pushes it in a certain way. So this is the fundamental problem. He goes through and calculates how much benefit you get from every extra year of education, for example, the value of 10 years of education, and he finds that it is basically minimal, particularly in a society which is increasingly educated. He finds that a huge element of education is the so-called sheepskin effect, i.e. You will get a benefit from having a formal degree in a subject, but if you've actually done all of the reading required and you have the knowledge, but you don't have a degree, then you won't get any of the benefit, which shows you that it's not about what you know, it's simply about signaling and having the qualification. So he concludes that for the most part, education, and particularly higher education, for most people is a waste of time. You don't get anything out of it, particularly financially. You don't get anything out of it in terms of useful knowledge. Society doesn't make much out of it. It doesn't increase the degree to which people are likely to achieve things or whatever. So for the most part, except with a certain exception, it's a waste of time. Get rid of it. Right. The second book which I want to look at is by a chap called Gatto. It's called Weapons of Mass Instruction. And this looks more at schooling and the problems with schooling, with higher education. Now let's look at schooling. He argues that the purpose of school is for social and political control. It dumbs people down and creates basically a more compliant society which suits the government. There's lots and lots of things that are true that we are not taught in school. That it's considered too controversial or whatever to be taught in school. So it's not about teaching people the truth, which is perhaps a useful thing to know about the world, the nature of society or whatever, because there's certain limitations in which that is the case. Although, of course, that could be arguably the case at university or in academia or at any level. Look at the issue of race. It causes people it doesn't help people to think in an independent way. It teaches people basically to learn things and imbibe information. So it destroys individualism, he argues. And it standardizes people to these standardized tests and whatever. And so it teaches them to learn to the test. Now, of course, that's not always been the case. That's something that's come in more recently. It used to be the case that schools didn't have a curriculum. They weren't strongly controlled by the government. They didn't have standardized tests. They were simply a way of learning to read and write and learning what was considered useful or gentlemanly knowledge, like Latin or whatever. So this is a new phenomenon. The third book I want to look at, also by Gatto, is called Dumbing Us Down. In which he draws upon his own experiences as a school teacher. He argues that education confuses students because it imbibes them with all kinds of information which ultimately they're going to just forget. And this has to be understood when you look at the benefit of education. The idea is that, oh, well, it's good to have a knowledgeable society. It's good to have a society that knows things. But point is that the degree to which we forget what we're told is very, very high. And this, by the way, was demonstrated in Britain about 20 years ago, when you had primary school teachers. In order to be a primary school teacher, elementary school teacher, you have to have GCSE, age 16 leaving certificate, GCSE mathematics, and grade C or above. And so then they, years later, when they're at university, give them a maths test and they find they can't do it. They fail. They can't get the equivalent of GCSE grade C. Maths by the age of 20 that they could when they were 16, which is showing you that they're just learning stuff and then forgetting it. Okay, it makes students indifferent to things. It creates a dependency culture based around rewards for doing what you're told, rather than a society of individual. He seems to promote a sort of individualistic society of not being based around these things. It is intellectually repetitive and sort of stagnant and just teaches you shallow things, and it forces you to conform to a particular system. He also argues that it's something of an evolutionary mismatch. So it locks people away from the community and their family. He argues when you should be with your community and you should be with your family, because that's the natural place where you should be. Particularly with boys, it sort of forces out of them their their testosterone-driven drives and things like that. It doesn't have any benefit to literacy. He shows that literacy in America was 98% before they introduced compulsory education, and literacy in America is 98% today. He argues you don't need teachers to be certified. You don't need teachers to have teaching qualifications. It's been shown that those that don't, such as at private schools, are just as good, if not better, than those that do. The teaching qualification itself is a sign of conformity and the ability to be indoctrinated rather than of skill. So basically, he argues that there's all kinds of problems with the nature of education and we need less education. Now, I can see that argument if we look at the research on intelligence and things like that. You can see that we reached our peak intelligence level in 1870. And not just that, but our peak level of per capita major innovation. So if education is about having a society which innovates things and is successful and comes up with brilliant things and competes successfully with other societies, we reached our peak in about 1870, which was, by the way, the same year that England introduced compulsory education. Compulsory education has had no benefit whatsoever in making English people more creative, more innovative. I mean, these are meant to be the fruits of education, aren't they? That you're more creative, more innovative, and as a society, you achieve things. That's the idea. Education makes you achieve things. Well, it doesn't. It clearly doesn't. So, then in competing with other societies, we can see that it is good to have a society that is literate. We can see that it is good to have a society that is pushed to its phenotypic maximum intelligence. That's what we want. And it seems that according to the Flynn effect, which is, of course, the secular rise in IQ tests, which occurred across the 20th century, we managed to achieve this by the time we had a system where people left school on average at about the age of 14. Beyond that, we have no Flynn effect. In fact, we have a negative Flynn effect because the underlying decline in intelligence is poking through, as I've looked at in other videos. There's no point going into that now. So this would imply to me that it might be a good thing to return to what we had in my grandparents' generation, which is that most people left school at 14. People did not learn. There's no need to be at school beyond about the age of 14 for most people. Now, obviously, we need specialists, and that's the good thing about school. It can identify the best people that would be useful to society in areas of specialism, and it can push those people into areas of specialism, and it can ensure that we have the precise number of highly qualified people in relation to the precise number of highly qualified jobs, and therefore create a stratified society, a meritocratic society, based around intelligence, based around personality type, which means that everybody is in their allotted place and people aren't wasting time in education learning things that they don't need to know and they're only going to forget. And it's no good for society that they know. It's no good for them that they know. They don't want to know them. They don't need to know them, and they would much more prefer to leave school at 14 or whatever in most cases and get a job. And there's no benefit to them or to anybody else because they'll just forget the information that they learn anyway. They're only learning it because they have to and because they're forced to and because they don't want to be humiliated or whatever. There's no point. And so that, I think, would be the balance. And let me look now at what I think is that how we can balance these things out. As I said, there is no benefit to too much education. If you have what we have now, which is a society where there is too much education, where everybody stays at school now in England until they're 18 years old, and then 50% of the society go to university. Well, what does that happen? You basically get an overpromoted society in which you have all of these people who have a degree, who think they're part, who should be part of the elite, who are entitled, who think they're important, and then they become bitter and unhappy when there is only a limited number of elite places for them. This creates intragroup conflict within the elite, intragroup elite conflict, which is what we're seeing now. This creates a very, very nasty situation where people will be absolutely vicious and Machiavellian in order to attain the very limited number of places, of elite places, and it destabilizes society. That's the first problem with too much education. The second problem is that, as I said, the benefits are genetically confounded, as I said, so therefore, the education is not going to improve society or make society more rational or logical or anything like, or achievement oriented or anything like that. The third problem is that it interferes with the economy. It causes people to become highly invested, basically in this bubble which must eventually burst, causing them to lose money, a lot of money, waste money, and therefore eventually the whole system will be undermined. So much better to gradually phase it out, to gradually phase out wasteful levels of education, particularly wasteful levels of higher education. It does not make the time spent in education, it's been shown, does not actually help you in any way. All that it does is it creates an inflation of education, an inflation of grades, a lowering of standards. And so actually you're not really making a society that's more educated at all. You're just keeping people in the institution of education for longer. So for all these reasons, I think education needs to be restricted. But there are some benefits to it, and you can look at that if you see education as a rite of passage, which is really what it's come out of. You have these tribes, these primitive tribes, and these tribes have a rite of passage which turn in which all the males in society are taken away from their families. The bond is therefore broken with their families. They are inculcated with the myths of the society, with the secret knowledge of the society, and simply with useful knowledge, such as about how to fight wars and kill people and stuff like this. And then when they come back into society, they are men, and the bond with their family is broken, and their sense of identification comes with the society itself. And that is important because it means that they will be identifying with the society rather than just with their family. It will create a sense of societal unity, of high positive and negative ethnocentrism, which computer models have shown mean it's more likely that you will beat other groups in the battle of group selection, that you will make sacrifices for your society, that you will identify with your society. So that rite of passage, which teaches you necessary knowledge, but also which teaches you humility, which teaches you to respect the religion of the society, which holds it together, which teaches you to respect authority, which teaches that is a good thing. If you have too little respect for authority and extreme individualism, then a society will balkanize and fall apart. If you have too much of it, then society will stagnate and not learn new things, and nobody will innovate things. And you need to get the balance between the two. And hopefully that's what these kinds of rites of passages kind of achieve, which is a balance between the two. On the one hand, being group oriented, such that you obey authority, you will fight in war and so on. But on the other hand, being sufficiently individualistic that you will come up with new ideas and new ways of thinking which benefit the society. You will be taught, critical thinking. And that's the balance which needs to be attained. Now, therefore, an education system set up by a complex society will be good to the extent that it attains that balance of inculcating people with useful knowledge, and also, in the case of boys, sort of suppressing their testosterone in favor of making them behave themselves and teaching them to control their behavior and their emotions and whatever, but also not too much that they don't have any critical faculties that could be used to come up with brilliant inventions or whatever. Getting that balance right. The system will undoubtedly inculcate you with the idea that there are social classes and that you should sort of stick with your social class and so on, which to a certain degree is a good thing because the heritability of social class across time from the medieval period to the year 1950 has been shown to be about 0.7. So it's highly heritable, highly genetic. So it's for most people, it's pointless having ambitions beyond their social class, and it's just going to make them upset if they have them. But for some people who are brilliant, by genetic chance, were born into lower classes, the education system, if it's meritocratic, will be able to identify those people, and it will be able to funnel them into useful socioeconomic roles. And that's what always happened in history. You might not believe it, but it's true. Thomas Cromwell, Cardinal Wolsey, people like this, they were born into lower middle class families, but they excelled at school so obviously that they ended up being pushed into positions of authority within the society. So this is the thing to do, and this will stabilize the social system, and it will create the necessary societal bonds. So that, I think, therefore, some balance needs to be struck. I think the problem with having no system of societal education is that you don't have this rite of passage which helps to bond the society together. If everyone's home school or whatever it happens to be, you don't have that, and that is an important element of a successful society. But if you have it to too great an extent, if it lasts too long, or if it inculcates you with conformity to too great an extent, or it doesn't teach you useful knowledge, it just takes taken over by religion and whatever and teaches you nothing of use, Then, of course, that's a problem. And the balance has to be struck. And that balance will change throughout periods in history. The key thing about an education system like this in a society that is complex is it has to inculcate you with the ideas of the group, the religion of the group, or submission to the group, authority, that sort of thing, up to the group-oriented group, I should stress. But it also has to allow a certain degree of individualism and to inculcate you with useful knowledge and to inculcate science and whatever, and to inculcate you with the ability to think critically. And that's what you have, I think, as the appropriate balance. Now, at various points in history, this has gone awry. And that's when you get quite interesting changes. So if you think about the development of the unit, there are periods where that balance is right, and there's focus on science and truth and analysis in the education system, and there are periods when it gets taken over by religiosity, when it expands too heavily, when it becomes about equality, and therefore when it falls. Now we can see this in the history of our universities. So when the universities were established, they were supposed to be about higher education, where the most intelligent and able people go to the university, and they went there quite young, at the age of about 14 or whatever. So basically, it was an extension of school, but they would learn to about the religion. They would learn to think critically. They would learn useful knowledge that would make people want to employ them. And you see this in the medieval era with the scholastics. Okay, it's within religious limitations, but the scholastics and things like that. Oxford University becomes a centre of thinking. Now, what happens, of course, is it's the upper class people that go to Oxford University, and so that becomes imitated. You have a so-called trickle effect, where other people want to go to Oxford University, where people who, or Cambridge, other people who are of lower social status and are less intelligent, whatever. So, of course, they do so. Then you get the expansion of Oxford and Cambridge University. Then you get an environment where the average intelligence is lower, where people are less intelligent, where you're being pushed to your phenotypic maximum intelligence to a lesser extent because you're surrounded by stupider people, where the curriculum has to be dumbed down for the sake of these stupider people who are paying tuition fees, and so on, where stupider people start to influence the way things work, start to influence the system, start to sort of make other people by whom they are surrounded less intelligent. And then and you get a desire as well in that kind of context among the middle class. They will signal because they're left out for equality, and so therefore you get a dumbing down, an equalization, a focus on harm avoidance, and you get these kinds of things of equality and whatever being pushed ahead of the pursuit of truth. You get the takeover by the university of religiosity based around certain dogmas, and these dogmas, which are signaled by the middle class in order to gain status, are put ahead of truth itself. You get the takeover by religion. You then get the university ceasing to teach useful knowledge, ceasing to teach you to think critically, and you get the decline of the university. And this is exactly what happened. And so by the 1500s, universities were in decline. There was a collapse in numbers at Oxford University by the 1530s. They no longer taught you to think critically. They taught you there was some useful knowledge you could get out of it, like learning a bit about the legal system if you were a gentleman who would one day have lots of farm and you need to know a bit about the legal system. But they also taught you things like dancing, and etiquette and stuff like this. It was no longer an institute that was focused really on learning. It went into decline. It was an extent, and people stopped going to university. And then it became basically an extension of school, and school started to last longer, and so therefore more people stopped going to university. There was no benefit to going to Oxford University anymore, and it went into a severe decline. And from about 1639 to about in between about 1780 and 80, if you're talking about gentlemen and esquires, or 1870, if you're talking about plebeians, it was in decline because Oxford University was no longer regarded as teaching you useful knowledge. It had been completely, through this middle class signalling, it had been completely taken over by religiosity and religious dogmas and whatever, because religious at that time, of course, it was a group-oriented society, and so middle-class people, in order to gain status, would signal their religiosity. They would take over institutions of power with their religiosity, and therefore that the religiosity would become more important than the pursuit of truth. Just as now, middle-class people will signal a different kind of religiosity based around equalitarian values of equality and harm avoidance, and therefore they have taken over the university, and the universities are no longer about the pursuit of truth and no longer teach you useful knowledge, and no longer and science is debased, and therefore we would expect the universities to go into decline. And that's what happened with Oxford. Oxford goes into decline until about the 1870s, basically about 1870, when it ceases to be dominated by the religion. A bit before then as well, but about 1870, it's very clear it ceases to be dominated by the religion. It starts teaching science properly. It starts teaching critical thinking properly. Then it's teaching you useful knowledge. It's teaching you science. It's teaching you to think critically. It becomes a sign of your intelligence and whatever. And so more people start going to Oxford University to gain this useful knowledge. And then and now it's interesting to know people forget this, but it was in decline up until then. And if you look at our prime ministers, if you go back in history of British prime ministers, almost all of them, there's a few exceptions, people like John Major, who lower middle class background, became an accountant, Jim Callaghan, a few others. Almost all of them, however, have gone to Oxford or Cambridge. But once you get back to our early prime ministers, they haven't. They don't go to Oxford or Cambridge in many cases, because because at that point Oxford and Cambridge had become sort of upper class finishing schools. They didn't teach you any useful knowledge. They didn't teach you critical thinking. They certainly didn't teach you science in the 18th century or the late 17th century. They taught you. They were just a finishing school that you went to because you were upper class, to get to know other upper class people, like going to agricultural college today or going to Sandhurst, to the military academy today. So, for example, the Earl of Bute, who was prime minister in the mid 18th century, he went to the universities of Groningen and Leiden because that was where critical thinking was taught and that was where science was taught. The Marquess of Rockingham, who was prime minister, he didn't even bother going to university. He just went on the grand tour of Europe to learn things from all the amazing stuff that they were doing in Europe. William Pitt the Elder, having gone to the finishing school of Oxford, then went to Utrecht University in Holland to actually learn some important stuff. There are many other. The Duke of Wellington didn't bother going to university before he went to joined the army. He went to university in France. Viscount Melbourne, having gone to Oxford University, went to the University of Glasgow because the Scottish universities weren't dominated by the church either, and so they were teaching useful knowledge and also science. Lord Russell, who was Prime Minister, went to Edinburgh University and got Göttingen University, by the way, in Germany. It was loads of English people were going there during that kind of generation because those were the places that were teaching science. Those were the places that would assign. It was the fact that you could go there and had a degree from there that signaled that you genuinely were very intelligent. It signaled that you had useful knowledge of science and whatever. It signaled that you've been taught to think critically. Going to Oxford and Cambridge did not indicate that, and so therefore they didn't go there. Now, after 1870, of course, there's a massive reform of Oxford and Cambridge to bring them in line with the German and Dutch universities, and therefore they become useful again, and people start going there again. And from then on, we have a rise in people going to Oxford and Cambridge universities, and the other English universities. Now, what we have now is a situation where there is complete overrepresentation. It's insane. University has become a bubble. It no longer allows you to signal anything. Too many people go to university. It's become taken over once again, as it has occurred in the medieval period, by religion. It no longer teaches you critical thinking. If anything, it shows that you are highly conformist and unable to think critically. And what you would expect to happen, therefore, is that eventually the bubble would burst and that universities would start, or English universities would start to go into decline. Eastern European universities would be regarded as better, and people will start to migrate over to those. Business schools will be regarded as better. Perhaps companies will start taking people straight from school and training them up in apprenticeships. That's the kind of thing that you would expect to happen, and I think that may well be taking place, the bursting of the bubble of university. And it will start with the upper class, and as normally happens, of course, people will then start to imitate the upper class. This will undermine whatever the new thing is as a sign of brilliance, because it will mean it will expand, and therefore the quality will inherently go down, will become more mid-witted, and it will become less of an easy signal of your ability because more people will be doing it, and then the process will happen all over again. But it would be interesting to see what that is. But the point is, we as a society are too educated. Education over a certain level, unless you're highly intelligent, can be focused into certain important things, is a waste of time, and we need to go back to a situation where most people leave school at about 14 and get on with their job. Because almost all these people now that have degrees, they don't have elite positions. They don't have elite positions at all. Those elite positions are filled by the best that have degrees, and the vast majority of them are just glorified secretaries, glorified clerks. Here lies a clerk who half his life had spent toiling at ledgers in a city grey, thinking that so his life would wend away, with no life, with no lance broken in life's tournament. That's what the majority of people are, and so no wonder they're so entitled and so bitter. Okay, well, if this has been of interest, then please subscribe. It really helps if you do that. You can see ways to assist the channel below. Remember, I live stream on Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time, 2 p.m. New York, and I will see you soon. And goodbye.